Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team, led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard, based here in Los Angeles. Joining me on the other line in New York is Billboard's editorial director, Jason Lipschutz. Hello, Jason.
What's up, man?
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I am all right. It's been a busy, busy Monday. We're recording this at the end of Monday. It's been a very, very full day.
Yeah.
Yeah. But let's not dwell on Monday. Let's move on to other things, because the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you know you can always count on a lively discussion between Jason and I about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop.
Today on the show, we'll be talking about a couple things, man. Lady Gaga postponing her European tour and a very special upcoming tribute show to Linkin Park's Chester Bennington.
Plus, we've got chart chat about how Thomas Rhett scores his first number one album on the Billboard 200 chart and brings country music back to number one for the first time in a year. How Taylor Swift still rules the Billboard Hot 100 with Look What You Made Me Do, but Cardi B could overtake her next week. And how Foo Fighters are flying towards their second number one album with their latest release. And in addition to all that, we've got an interview with one of my personal favorite singers, Nadine Coyle. The Pop Shop went on location. Yes, girls allowed. The Pop Shop went on location to London to chat with Nadine, who you know from her work with the super successful UK girl group Girls Aloud. We talked to her about her new single, Go to Work, why she's coming back now with her first proper solo material in a long while, and of course, the legacy of Girls Aloud.
But first, my man, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on iTunes so you never, ever, ever, ever miss an episode. Give us a rating or review while you're at it. Come on, guys. I want more ratings. I want more reviews, more five stars. I just want stars like flying at my face. Like, give me all the five-star reviews that you got. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit itunes.com/billboardpodcasts.
All the stars flying at your face. Got
that's
it.
That's all I want, man. Five-star reviews. Come on. Okay, let's hit some of the biggest headlines on Billboard.com. So over the weekend, this broke. Lady Gaga announced that she is postponing the European leg of her Joanne tour due to, quote, severe physical pain, according to a note from Live Nation. The pop star was scheduled to head overseas from September 21st to October 28th, so a pretty good amount of time, about 6 weeks or so. And that run has been pushed to next year due to Gaga's fibromyalgia. I knew I was going to mess it up too.
Fibromyalgia?
Yeah, that's right. That's like exactly that? What I'm naming. I'm going to try it. Which is, quote, chronic centralized pain sensitivity syndrome, according to an article on Billboard.com.
That's a doozy.
I mean, so obviously this is disappointing for Gaga fans. I really hope that this is something that Gaga's been dealing with for a very long time. Obviously, we wish her well and hope that she makes a speedy recovery. I mean, I really appreciate the fact that, and I think her fans do as well, the fact that she's been so open about this stuff. You know, it's not a very common affliction, and I think that her openness and, you know, commitment to returning to the stage is really admirable. So get well soon, Gaga.
Yeah. I got nothing else to add except get well soon. I mean, that just sucks. Like, it just sucks for her. And, you know, but, you know, I mean, Gaga's a trooper. She'll be out there back on the road as soon as she can. So, you know,
Well, I have not seen the upcoming Gaga Netflix documentary, which I think drops later this week. But I know we've had a couple stories about it on Billboard.com and in Billboard magazine, and I've heard that her dealing with this kind of physical pain is a part of the documentary. So I guess we'll get a closer look at that when it drops later this week. I will say there is a pretty cool story on Billboard.com about the most emotional moment in that Netflix documentary, which is when she plays the Joanne title track for her father and her grandmother. Very emotional scene. Go inside that scene, how it came together, at Billboard.com.
Hmm.
So the other thing I want to talk about, Keith, it was announced on Monday that Linkin Park will throw a, quote, one-night-only celebration in the memory of singer Chester Bennington on October 27th at the Hollywood Bowl in your very own Los Angeles.
Just down the street.
Just down the street. I've never been to Hollywood Bowl, by
the
way.
It's beautiful. You should try to go the next time.
I know. I really should. This will be the first time since Bennington's passing in July that the five remaining members of Linkin Park will be on stage, and they'll be joined by surprise guests. Now, I mean, obviously, it's been about 2 months since Chester's untimely passing, and obviously the rest of Linkin Park has been pretty quiet since then, understandably so, and I think this will be something that a lot of fans and non-fans alike look forward to at the end of next month.
Did they say that this was going to be, I feel like I could have read this incorrectly, was this some sort of benefit for Chester's family or his kids or something? Or is this just like a celebration of him?
Yeah, I think it's more of a celebration. I'm not sure if, you know, I know tickets are about to go on sale. I'm not sure where proceeds are going to go. But yeah, it's basically going to be a celebration of his music. We saw similar kind of celebrations like this with Leonard Cohen when he passed and David Bowie. So I'm really happy that
it'll be an emotional night.
Imagine it'll absolutely be an emotional night. So
didn't mean to cut you off there.
No, I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right. Those are the big headlines on Billboard.com right now.
Well, here's a couple chart things that we can talk about, because we're going to run the chart numbers and do the chart chat. How many times can I say the word chart in a sentence? Here are three of the biggest headlines on the charts right now. Number one, Thomas Rhett's on top of the Billboard 200 as the country singer-songwriter scores his first number one album with Life Changes. Number two, over on the Billboard Hot 100, Taylor Swift's still atop the chart with Look What You Made Me Do, but could Cardi B knock Swift from number one next week? And Sam Smith's Too Good at Goodbyes crashes in at number five this week on the chart. We'll have more on that in just a second. And number three, Foo Fighters are flying towards their second number one album on the Billboard 200 with their latest release, Concrete and Gold. Okay, let's break down each of these individually, as we always do each week. First up, it's a big week for country music as country singer-songwriter Thomas Rhett debuts at number one on the Billboard 200 with Life Changes. The set earned 123,000 equivalent album units in the week ending September 14th, according to Nielsen Music. And this gives Rhett his first number one album. Further, it's the first country album to hit number one in a year, since Jason Aldean's They Don't Know bowed atop the tally exactly a year ago this week. Jason, question for you. Do you think, as editorial director, is that the title?
Yeah.
As editorial director, do you think we could get another couple country number ones this year? Maybe Shania, if indeed her album is considered a country album. Yeah. I don't know. Luke Bryan, I think, has an album coming, maybe, and there's potentially a Sam Hunt album coming. Do you feel like the tides are turning for country music?
Yeah, I'm not sure about Shania, because if I'm not mistaken, that album's coming out the same week as, you know, Miley Cyrus and Demi Lovato and a couple other.
And so you're thinking that Miley and Demi will beat Shania?
I'm not sure. I mean, it'll definitely be a tight race. You know,
you heard it here first, people. Jason isn't sure that Shania is going to be number one.
I think that she will definitely have competition for that number one. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying, man. People love Miley. People love Demi. People love Shania as well. I actually wrote a couple weeks ago about how Shania Twain might make a splash at the Grammys this year. People love Shania and they're happy to see her come back. Yeah, so you never know. In terms of if Luke Bryan drops an album before the end of the year, that'll definitely be a strong contender for number one. Same for Sam Hunt. Pretty wild that Body Like a Backroad's one of the biggest songs of the year. still no album. No album, but you know that's kind of the case with Despacito.
I was going to say Despacito. There's no album. No, Sam Hunt doesn't have an album. Like yeah. It's really funny. I'm like, you know, you could have just thrown an album together and just tacked the song on there. I mean, why didn't Luis Fonsi, as I go wildly off track, why didn't Luis Fonsi throw a greatest hits album out there of his own to introduce, you know, all the new fans that he was getting that didn't know who he was until this summer, despite the fact that he's been a star in Latin music for a very long time? Why didn't they put together a compilation of his greatest hits, put Despacito and a couple new songs on there, and say, hey, everyone, here's Luis Fonsi. You're getting to know him for the first time, but he's actually had an amazing body of work. Get to know him through this new album. But they didn't. So
listen, man, you got me. You got me. I'm not sure.
All right. Well, let's move on. Next up, Taylor Swift continues to hold down the fort at number one on the Hot 100 with Look What You Made Me Do. But Cardi B's Bodak Yellow is trailing close behind at number two. Now, I'm looking at the points each song registered this past week. I'm looking at the actual breakdown of, you know, I got the spreadsheet out and looking at the points. And I'm looking at how they're trending, and it looks like, based on how they perform this week, Cardi B could actually hit number one next week. That is, barring a surprise surge from Logic, because his single, 1-800-273-8255, rises 5-3 on the Hot 100 and is not terribly far away from Cardi B in terms of total points. So next week, anything is possible. Taylor still could hold on at number one, but it looks like Cardi could possibly hit number one unless something crazy happens with Logic. So,
you know what? You know what I was kind of thinking about, just to quickly interrupt. It's kind of nice having some like new blood at the top of the Hot 100. Because
some bad blood?
Some bad. Just new blood. But you know, it seemed like the summer was so much Despacito. Obviously, 16 weeks at number one. You had Wild Thoughts. You had I'm the One. You had That's What I Like. It was a pretty static top of the Hot 100 there for a while, and now we have, you know, a new face like Cardi B, a new face like Logic, and then, you know, another debut in the top five this week, which we'll get to right now.
It's awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's great. And you know, as Jason just said, we have a debut in the top five. Sam Smith's new single, Too Good at Goodbyes, which starts at number five. It's the fifth top 10 hit for the singer and his highest charting song since I'm Not the Only One hit number five back in January of 2015. I think this sets up, I would imagine this, they've got to be happy with a top five debut, certainly. And it probably, you know, sets up the his upcoming album fairly well.
Keith, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Kelly Clarkson's Love So Soft, we talked about it last week when it came out.
Yes.
Where is it at on the Hot 100?
Well, here's the thing. It debuts at 62, but that's not terribly high, I know. But it's her 27th hit on the Hot 100. In slightly better chart news, it also debuts at number 32 on the Pop Songs Airplay chart, which is the chart that measures mainstream top 40 airplay. So it's actually off to a pretty decent start at radio. I think because the song is kind of a curveball, it might be throwing people for a loop.
Yeah.
And I think once people get into it, I think it might actually bode well for the album. At least I hope so. I mean, I think the video is stunning. The song's really cool, and I think it's a nice look for Kelly. And I don't think that the first week is necessarily going to like indicate where the song is going to trend after this.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we talked about it last week, but it definitely seems like kind of a song that will latch on, and it's really likable. So at the very least, I definitely think it'll have a presence on pop radio in the coming weeks.
Lastly, according to industry forecasters, Foo Fighters. I always want to say the Foo Fighters, but it's just Foo Fighters. Foo Fighters are aiming for their second number one album on the Billboard 200 with Concrete and Gold. Sources suggest the set could earn over 120,000 equivalent album units in the week ending September 21st, which should enable the set to bow atop next week's chart. The band previously led the list with its 2011 album, Wasting Light.
Pretty crazy to me that they've only had one other number one album.
Yeah, like when Wasting Light hit number one, it was just like, finally, the Foo Fighters get their first number one album. I mean, the same thing sort of happened last year with Kings of Leon. Everyone assumed that, you know, the album with Sex on Fire was number one, but it wasn't. They had to wait till last year's Walls to get their first number one.
Yeah.
And David Bowie didn't have his first number one album until after he died. So,
it's
crazy
very
things.
True.
Those very charts. True. Those crazy charts. All right. Now, it is time for our interview with Nadine Coyle. The Pop Shop went on location to London recently to chat with Nadine, who you're probably familiar with as one-fifth of the UK girl group Girls Aloud. The quintet racked up 21 top 10 singles on the official UK singles chart between 2002 and 2012. And while the group is no more, all five members have been busy with their own solo projects. Now, Nadine is back with a new solo single called Go to Work, which was produced by Brian Higgins of Xenomania fame, the same production team that handled basically all of Girls Aloud's music. We sat down with Nadine to talk about the new single, even more new music from her, working with Brian Higgins, and you know what's that like to get back with him after you know working with him for so long with Girls Aloud. And, of course, we talked about the legacy of Girls Aloud. So, take a listen to our chat with Nadine Coyle. Welcome to the Pop Shop Podcast, Nadine Coyle.
Oh, hello.
How are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
I am fabulous. I am so happy that I get to speak with you.
Thank you so much for coming here, and let's chat, and let's have a lovely time.
Yes.
And I really appreciate
let's
it, honestly,
do, it.
Do. Thank you.
Tell us where we're at right now, because we're somewhere, I guess we're technically, are we outside of London, or are we still in London at this point?
We're technically still in London. We're North London.
Okay.
So we're not too far away from Hampstead, probably like 15 minutes from that, but we're very much off the beaten track.
Right.
This is a new experience for me too, but it's lovely.
It's lovely.
It's a beautiful studio.
We're in a rehearsal space where when I walked in, I heard your new single and I saw you sort of cha-cha-chaing about and dancing with a bunch of ladies.
Yes.
I'm assuming you are getting prepared to unleash your new single, which by the time people hear this, they will have heard it.
Oh my goodness.
How are you feeling right now? Because right now, people listening, she's going to release the single properly to the world in like less than 24 hours.
Yes, absolutely.
How are you feeling right now?
Right now, I'm very glad that I have the distraction of choreography. I really am, because it's one of those things where we've had the song for probably since October of last year.
Wow.
We came across Go to Work, and we've been making it better and adding in more bits and taking bits away and doing different things. Well, not me, Brian.
Right.
I've been singing the bits.
You've been there.
I've been there.
Doing
the
bits.
I've been involved, yes. So, but it's been on a journey, the song itself, and I love it. I've loved it since then. And know that it's kind of at a place where everybody can hear it, and you heard it, you know.
I did.
And it's like, oh, what's happening?
It's that moment.
It's that moment of you're almost like jumping off a cliff, and you're like, okay, what's going to happen? Just like let it go, let the song do its thing, and let it hopefully it makes people happy.
It's a proper kind of, the way I would describe it is sort of a poppy, soulful dance track that has like a really like whoosh feeling to it. I mean, it's all the things that you want in like a fun pop song.
Okay, good.
Not that I'm telling you to describe it in that same way back to me, but when you heard it the first time, what made you think, oh, I have to have that song? What was it that sort of went off in your brain?
Well, it was a lot dancier when I had first heard. I'd first heard the chorus bit. Why don't you go to work? And I was like, oh, wow, that is so good. But it was a completely different track.
Wow.
So I had just sang that chorus bit, and then I said to Brian, I was like, I love this. This bit sounds really good. And then Brian was like, so what do you think of, you know, what do you think of it? What do you think of it? I was like, I love it. I love it. I do. And he's like, no, again, what do you think? But I was like, I love it. And we had done lots of different parts to it. And then Brian had called me. It was really early in the morning. He said, I'm going to send a track through right now and tell me what you think. and he had sent through a version of Goody Work, and I had played it in the kitchen, and we were jumping around and just loving it. We're like, this is amazing, amazing. And it's changed, you know, possibly 25 times since then.
Wow.
But it was a good moment hearing, hearing that.
So. I mean, and people, you know, people listening understand that, you know, songs go through such a metamorphosis from the beginning to the end. And I think that's probably the way that Brian Higgins, of course, of Xenomania, who we've worked with practically on all the Girls Aloud material, you sort of reteamed with him for this song. That's kind of, I imagine that's kind of the way he works with his songs, where he, you know, records bits and pieces and kind of puts them together like a puzzle. I feel like that's the way I've read about how a lot of the Girls Aloud material was done. Is that sort of correct in saying that?
That's absolutely correct. There's parts from, you know, one song that could end up on another song.
Which is incredible.
Yeah, there's nothing.
And you would never know that.
No.
When you listen, it's just so perfect, you know?
Yes, they're very cohesively then put together. Yeah. But that's what makes it fun. You never know. And you have to change lyrics and things to make it work from one song to the next.
Right.
But it's wonderful. At the beginning, I was thinking, what is this? What is going on? But that was the beginning 15 years ago.
Right,
now
right.
Now I'm like, oh, yeah, let's do it. Anything else? Any more pieces? Sure. And yeah, I'll sing
whatever.
Do some more.
Whatever you want to give me, I've got it.
Yeah, let's do it. More. Sure.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, you know, people have been dying to hear new music from you for a while. It's been a moment. I mean, you had obviously your debut solo album, which has been a little while. Mm-hmm. And then Girls Aloud came back together and we got four new songs. And then you had a duet and you had the Michael Flatley show. Mm-hmm. But it's been a moment since we've had just full-on Nadine.
Yes.
Why was this the right time for you to come back?
Because the songs are here.
Yeah.
It's all about the music. I love to make everything as much about the music as possible. And it just took this length of time to get enough songs. There's this song. There's another song after that. There's another song after that. So we're kind of on this special place of having these songs. And it took all this time. And, you know, we've got the amazing team with Virgin and with everybody involved. Thank you, Polly. Thank you.
There is a lovely woman who just dropped off some beverages.
Yes,
a beverage.
Lovely English breakfast tea. Thank you.
You know, it must feel amazing to, you know, reunite with Brian because he was there for all of the Girls Aloud material. Mm-hmm. Did it feel like it was sort of a reunion or going back home in a way to go and work with him again?
Absolutely. We are so familiar with how each other work. And as much as our personalities are so different just to sit and talk to us, when we work in the studio, we're so focused. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of really concentrated and doing all of the tracks and singing all of the things. And you can see both of us, you know, his head's elsewhere, my head is elsewhere. And it works. And it's such a challenge for me to sit down and have to sing all of these parts and rapping sometimes. Who knows what I might be doing
at any
given Brian Higgins session. But I love it. It gets so exciting.
Now, on the track, there's a lot of vocals that you hear and there's a lot of backing vocals. Are all the vocals you or are there other backing vocalists, like background vocalists?
It's all me.
It's all you?
Yeah, it's all me. Yeah, I won't be able to do all of that live.
Well, of course not.
I can't, yes, but there is, yes, it's all me on there.
I was reading that you said something about how your voice has gotten a little bit more kind of deeper or more sort of soulful or kind of, I don't know what the word is that you described it, but do you feel like your voice has kind of grown in a way and kind of gotten richer over the years?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, because you can sort of hear that on the single.
You can.
I think so.
Yeah, and it was, when we got under those sessions, we could hear that straight away. Brian was saying, he's like, your voice has changed. It's gotten more mature. He's like, yes. Just my voice, not anything else.
Nothing else.
Yes, nothing else. Well, just that.
I mean, and I think, you know, he's in the unusual situation where he's actually seen you grow over the past 15 years from the start with Girls Aloud through now. I'm assuming there's more music coming. Like, is the idea that eventually there will be some sort of body of work, like an album farther down the road?
I hope so.
Hope so.
Yeah, I really do. It's such a strange landscape now, music, isn't it?
It's like, do you put out a single or three singles or an EP? There's no right way to do anything anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, we'll see how this goes.
We'll see how this goes. Yeah. We're working. I mean, the amount of songs that Brian and I have done, or the amount of parts that are floating around, is possibly in the hundreds. So to gather an album,
wow,
it would be, you know, would be quick, and he could do it. We could do it easily enough. But it's, you know, do you do single after single after right. single after single, and then have the amount of an album?
Right.
Or
do you, after you six singles, do you then put out an album? Are you like Calvin Harris, where you just put out a bunch of singles and then maybe it's an album after that, and it's almost like a greatest hits or something?
Yeah.
Or who knows?
It's very early days.
Let's just get the single out.
Let's get the single out. Let's hopefully everybody loves it. Fingers crossed, people just, you know, make it part of their lives. And yeah, that's kind of the hope.
I'm assuming that the idea is that you're going to have sort of a full promotional schedule from now until the end of the year. I'm imagining that your schedule is just sort of booked solid at this point with things that you're hoping, like performances and so forth.
Yes.
That's the goal.
Virgin have said, they said, till or not, no holidays until after Christmas, and we'll discuss it then.
So I hope you had no plans for Christmas.
Yes. Everybody takes 2 weeks off of Christmas, so...
That's all you get.
Yeah, so that's fine.
But you're going to work, so you know.
I'm going to work, and I can't sing this song about you have to go to work and then I can stay in the house.
Yeah, I'm
going to
take a break.
Yeah, you guys work, I'll be here now.
For my first single in a while, I thought I'd just take a couple months off. It's fine.
No.
You know... Are there any plans, and I say this coming from America, since I live in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. where you, I think, have lived for a good chunk of time recently, is there any hopes that you might come to America to promote this song, like maybe somewhere down the road? Is that an idea that we might be able to pull off?
I would love that.
Wonderful.
I know for the first time since I've started that I've kind of remembered... that America has looked for the rights for things. There's the rights to play videos and the rights for all of these things.
As they
that
should.
I just have to say, of course, give them whatever they want.
Put it out.
Yes.
Americans were denied, unfortunately. Girls Aloud.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why.
It's terrible, frankly.
It's unfair.
I resorted to, and I gladly purchased import CDs, and I only knew you guys for the music. I never saw the TV show. Mm-hmm. I never saw any of that. I just knew about the music, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. Why is this not released in America? Why are they not on our charts? And then when I really got into Girls Aloud, it was like, okay, we're going on hiatus. I'm like, really?
No way.
Why? And then when you announced that you were coming back together for the 10 tour, I said, okay, I have to go to London. So I went and saw you guys at the O2. It was brilliant.
Oh, great.
I was on the floor, smack dab in the middle, right in front. It was amazing.
Oh, wow. Right by the catwalk was?
Oh, yes. When you come out to the end, full on, I've got a picture of you and the girls all in the feathers. It was amazing.
It was great.
And I was like, I have to go because I don't know if they'll ever do this again. I don't know if they'll come to America.
Luckily, you did come.
Yes.
Yeah, luckily you did.
Exactly. When you look back on now the almost 15 years of Girls Aloud and everything that they've achieved, what do you see as the legacy of the group? Because I see one thing, but when you look back and say, wow, what do you think of like... What do you think of the legacy?
The music.
Yeah.
When you listen to even Sound of the Underground today, it still sounds good.
Absolutely.
Everything sounds good. I was on holidays recently and was just playing Girls Aloud, as you do. Just like, you know, going back, old albums.
You were just playing Girls Aloud music?
Playing Girls Aloud. We were getting ready to go out. Me and my sister and my friends.
Throw on a little Love Machine.
Throw on a bit of Girls Aloud. Yep. Some of the more obscure, maybe not the singles, I could go through.
Ooh.
But then the singles obviously come up when you're running the album.
Right.
And then, because I'm foolish this way, the routines come into your mind. I'm like, we used to do this. We used to do this. We used to do something like this. And the music is just still sounds so good. So I think that's our legacy.
The music absolutely holds up so well. It's because when you hear it, it's just kind of just timeless in a way. Because you can't place it. It's not trendy. Mm-hmm. It's not, a certain kind of beat or a certain kind of anything. It's just, it exists in its own kind of space, which is why you can listen to it now and say, I don't know when that's from because it just sounds so good. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just saying that as a fan. I love pop music.
Uh-huh.
And you can, when you hear certain kinds of pop music, You're like, oh, I can, that sounds very early 2000s.
Yes, absolutely.
Or that sounds late 90s. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, I can hear whatever. But there's no trendiness to the Girls Aloud music. Mm-hmm. And certainly when you hear Go to Work, that's just, that doesn't sound like it's trendy, like it's trying to be something. It just sounds effortless and cool and perfect pop.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Well, that was it then. We weren't trying to. There's absolutely no way you could recreate Girls Aloud and everything that we were able to do in that legacy of that.
Yeah.
So it was, okay, well, let's get together. Let's start singing. Let's see what works, what fits, what works. What do we feel comfortable with? You know, what do I feel attached to when I start singing something?
And you're speaking of working with Brian again.
Yes. This is with this right. music now. Yeah, it was... It was just about trying to make stuff that we really enjoyed and we could have fun with. And even now, you know, in rehearsing it with the dancers, like, I love it. This is so good. Really empowering. And
that is an amazing sign when you've lived with a song for almost a year now and you still love it.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Same way with, you know, like some of the older songs. I hear them now and I'm like, this is really good. I want to get up and sing and dance to it.
Well, this has been lovely. I could talk to you forever.
So could I. This is so nice. And it's getting me out of...
It's getting you out of
dancing,
rehearsals. Yeah. It's getting you off your feet for a moment. And your
yes, but the heels, but...
Those are not your dancing shoes, I don't think.
These are my dancing shoes, yeah.
Really?
But these are my...
It's like a suede heel that she has on.
I was looking for my other dancing shoes. Are some cream stilettos. But my mom is at my house right now, and she decides to just move things around all the time. She takes notions. Moms do that, don't they? They're like, oh, the knives and forks were in the wrong place. They should be over here.
Right. Let me fix this for you.
Let me fix this. So my shoes that are kept, you know, my dancing shoes, they had to be moved. And this morning I had no time to find them. So I was like, okay, I'll just go with these.
Yeah. Well, it's very fashionable at the same time.
Oh, thank you.
Now that we've talked about shoes, I should probably stop this interview.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Nadine.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you so much to Nadine. It was so awesome to chat with her. I'm such a fan of Girls Aloud, as listeners of the show are probably very well aware. So it was a real treat to spend some time with her. So I've got one out of the five down. I just need to collect them all. I need to get to the other four ladies. So if you're listening, just, you know, I'm waiting for your next project, and I will be there. I will be in London. I will meet you wherever you want. I gotta catch them all.
I will say also that, you know, U.S. listeners are, yes, absolutely, Keith is a super fan of Girls Aloud. But if you haven't really done the deep dive into Girls Aloud's singles or albums, please do so. They were such a cool pop group. I do not have the extensive knowledge that Keith does of Girls Aloud, but just some absolutely amazing singles. I tweeted last week that I was listening to Biology, probably my favorite Girls Aloud single. I was like, oh man, I never got to see them live. So definitely, but you know what? Their albums are great. Check them all out.
It is state of the art pop. And unfortunately, America was denied the Girls Aloud. Just like we were denied Sugar Babes. We were denied so many great pop acts. Go check them out. You will, if you love pop music, you will probably dig their music. And it's never too late to learn about music. It's never too late. And now it's time, Jason. Do you know what time it is?
Feels like chart stat time.
It's time for the chart stat of the week. This week in 1981, the Rolling Stones got its ninth number one album on the Billboard 200 with Tattoo You. The set, which features the Hot 100 number two smash, Start Me Up, jumped to the top of the Billboard 200 dated September 19th, 1981, and spent 9 weeks atop the list, which is the band's longest running number one album.
That's a long time for a number one album, by the way.
Especially, I mean, these days, nothing is number one for very long unless your name is Drake. Considering the success of the album, it might be hard to believe that the set actually comprises outtakes and half-finished songs from previous Rolling Stones albums. Basically, the band had a tour planned for late 1981 and needed a record out for the tour. You know, that's generally the way these things used to work. We're going to go on tour. Let's have an album behind it so we can promote the album and, sell some records. But the groups Mick Jagger and Keith Richards weren't getting along terribly well at the time. Aww. So in order to work around that, the band opted to sift through their old unused material from their past few albums and cobbled together an album from that material. And the Rolling Stones were very prolific in the 70s and made a lot of great music that didn't all come out at the same time. So, you know, it came together and made a really, really great album called Tattoo You. Funny enough, a few of the songs on the album are so old, they actually feature guitarist Mick Taylor, who left the band in 1974. Yeah. So there you have it. 36 years ago this week, the Rolling Stones got their so far final number one album with Tattoo You. Okay. We have reached the end of our big shoe.
Good show, man.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. What do you guys think? If you like the show, give us a rating or review.
I want stars.
Stars flying
at
Jason's
my
face.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
What song should we go out on? Perhaps a Girls Aloud song?
Yeah, man, your pick.
Well, we should probably go out on, well, I think we're going to play Biology under what we were saying earlier. So let's go out on one of my other favorite Girls Aloud songs, which is called Call the Shots.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
All right, we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye. Just 'cause you're